Hello again and welcome back to Monday Nights in the Know, brought to you by Racing Post and Boyle Sports, as we look ahead once again to four races, this time for our Cheltenham anti-post angles, and of course look back at the weekend, at all the action on the Tapita. That's right, the biggest jump story came on the all-weather at Southall. For years I've been banging on about how more people should watch Southall, we should get better horses on, put Grade 1, Group 1 racing on at Southall, people will watch it. Turns out that's true, as long as it's, you know, everyone's favourite champion hurdler. But we'll pick the bones out of that very shortly and see if anything else popped up from the likes of Kempton or Fairy House or Nace or wherever you happen to find an angle at the weekend. And then we're going to be having a look at, quite frankly, some very tough races, anti-post-wise. We're going to get stuck into the Turners. We're going to have a look at the Triumph as well, and the Mare's Hurdle and the Mare's Novice, which may be quite simple if the two short price favourites turn up for those races. My name's Ross Briley. What are your names? Let me know in the chat. Get involved. Say hello. If you're watching live, give us a like and a subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hello to Andrew Ricketts, to Alan Keane, to Matt Jennings, to David Ladd, to Gomez, to Romping Home, to Scotty Rudds, to Alan Keane and everyone. I've already said you, Alan Keane. Hello, Alan Keane, to you twice. Good evening. If you say Alan Keane three times into a mirror, he appears. I don't know if you know that. Right, let's get on with the show, shall we? And the man to my left has I get to see his face in the flesh as a bit of a treat, Mr. Paul Keighley. How
are
you
remembered.
Doing? Yeah, there you go. You remembered, and I remembered who you were.
I showed up. I can't believe it.
Nice to see you, mate.
How you doing, bud?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, I'm getting older and more batty as life goes on, I'm afraid.
That's fine. I mean, you've always been a bit batty, right? Mm.
Yeah, I got an email from my the Epsom Club today asking me why I paid my subs last week, given that I paid them a month ago as well.
That's very honest of them.
Yeah, very good. No, quite a few quid as well, actually, for that club.
Yeah, they could have all gone out for dinner on your expense. But never mind. Well, I say never mind Epsom, but after Friday night's exploits, you might, I don't know, Champion Hurdle or Coronation Cup, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing, wasn't he? I mean, there's so many people. I spent my life trawling through social media while my wife thinks I'm watching the telly with her, and you know, it just seems like the whole of X, as we have to call it now, assumed that Constitution Hill was a massive lay. Mm. Now, I'm not saying I took the complete opposite view, because I never had a view. Yep. Like, you know, I just didn't know how you really could for a 9-year-old making his debut. But he blew him away, didn't he? And I said, I mean, it was weeks ago. I said, you know, why are we talking about this? You know, we're not going to learn anything, are we? What we have actually learned is that he's still a raging certainty for the Champion Earl if he gets round, isn't he?
Yeah.
If he runs in it and gets round, because he's just got so much class, isn't he?
I mean, the thing I didn't necessarily like on the build-up to it was it felt like, again, everyone can sort of pull up stumps and do everything that's possible for this one horse and this one race. And I kind of thought, well, there's loads of problems you could be putting your energy into solving in racing, apart from this. Well,
apart from moaning about that, yeah. And it was, you know, at the end of the day, it was great, wasn't it?
Well, it was. And at the look, it was the whole build-up to it was one thing. Mm. But then when it actually started to unfold and it actually did happen, yeah. I mean, I've been working in racing, 20 years, I'd say, and I can't remember the last time I saw something where I thought, you know what, I've never seen that before. That is, it was a whole new, fresh race. It was a whole fresh experience. And before the race, I was a bit nervous and excited. I was like, because I don't know what's going to happen here. And after the race, I was like, I am so glad that happened and I got to see that. Yeah.
You got the trainer at a second shaking his head saying, my horse is a 95 plus horse. Like, you know.
Well, if he turned up in that, whatever the 3-year-old that they kept at Royal Ascot in the summer or something, you'd think he'd have a chance, wouldn't you? So he's beat some good horses.
I mean, a third had split a subsequent Group 3 winner and an Irish Ses winner the time before.
Yeah.
You know, for Dan Skelton Gambino. I mean, they weren't mugs.
Absolutely not.
And he's absolutely crucified, haven't he?
He has.
What do we do now, though?
What do we do now? I don't know. Where's Follow Rebels Romance around the globe, maybe? taking him on for group races? I don't know. Tom Siegel's with us tonight as well, of course. And Tom, you're the purest of the panel. You like to see good horses winning races. And it was nice to see a very, very good horse win, well, a strange but wonderful race.
It was great, wasn't it? It was really good. It was great for everyone. involved. Don't know what they're going to do next. That's the $3 million question, isn't it? $6 million? $3 million. I'm getting mixed up between my $6 million men and my whatever million dollar questions. But
$64,000, isn't it? I mean, you've got a bit expensive in your days.
Whatever it was. Whatever it was. I'm getting confused. But look, that's the upshot of it, isn't it? What's going to happen now? My guess is he won't run in the champion hurdle. That's my guess. Just seems that that's the way the vibes are going. And I have to admit, I'm a bit of a... I'd chicken out too if I were them, because that's just... There's just no upside. There's just no upside, apart from winning a champion hurdle, obviously. But I don't know. If something went wrong, it's going to be a disaster, isn't it? So my guess is they'll chicken out. I hope they don't, because I'd love to see a champion hurdle with him back in it. But there's so much excitement he's going to create on the flat if he just keeps running on the flat, isn't he? Imagine him in the Melbourne Cup. I might even go, Ross. Imagine that, getting out of my house. The one race I've always wanted to go and see is the Melbourne Cup, and that would be the perfect reason to go, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been once, and I saw it was the ex Harry Dunlop train Green Moon that won it the year I was went. So it'd be slightly different class, I think.
Yes. He won the London Gold Cup at Newbury.
Green Moon, he did.
Beat a horse that won two Dubai World Cups.
He did.
Monty Rosso. Yeah. There you go. I mean, anyway, because I managed to get Monty Rosso beaten off 80-something in a handicap by Green Moon. Had a proper bet on him that day.
In hindsight, I should have backed him for the Melbourne Cup while I was there. If anything, the only thing was, Tom, I mean, the racing was great, but it was such an incredible experience. I don't remember which of the races.
Did you go, Ross?
Yeah. I went to the same year. I went to the Breeders' Cup, went to Santa Anita.
Okay.
And then flew to the Melbourne Cup, and then came.
Oh, okay.
Home.
Did you go to watch Constitution Hill the other night?
Oh, sorry. No. No, I didn't know. I was working, but it was 3,000 students did, and they'll have had the time of their life. And if 300 of them come back again, then job done.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, would you run him, Champion Hill?
No. The downside is too much, and the upside is only knowing what we already know, that he's a champion hurdler.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I'd love to see him run, because he's, you know, put up two brilliant displays at Cheltenham before, isn't he? And you love to see that. But end of the day, it's very easy to say what you'd do when you're not the one responsible for doing it, isn't it? Like, you know what I mean? It's got to be a hard decision, but you'd imagine they will lean towards not running, I'd have thought.
Well, I think, and again, I mean...
But I hope racing gets behind him if they do decide to run, rather than everybody saying this is the wrong decision and then, you know, wait and see and all that. We know Nicky Henderson, for every time you see him interviewed on the TV, not just about Constitution, or about all his horses, how much he loves them.
Yeah.
So he's going to do what he thinks is right, right, you know. And if they're happy with his jumping, he might let him go. So if he does, get behind him rather than start putting a knife in before it happens.
Yeah, and you're right, because racing does have a tendency to sort of shoot itself in the foot, in the sense you've got all this goodwill, you've got all this, you know, Friday night was genuinely wonderful, and then it's tall poppy syndrome slightly, isn't it? That went really well, so how can we knock it down next time?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We don't want to see that. But the thing is, I mean, you know, for example... You know, he ran his sectionals in the last couple of furlongs were almost the same as the 85 rated sprinter early on. His overall time would have won the Winter Derby the next day, and this is on his flat debuts in
This is the thing, isn't it? We're talking about a Melbourne Cup, and it might not be a stay on the flat at all.
Yeah.
It might not be.
And what the thing about the other night was that if all those people are going to go and see him at Southall, doesn't need to go to Cheltenham. He could go anywhere, and I think everyone would follow.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, what would you do, Tom?
I wouldn't run him in the champion hurdle myself. I just don't... it's just so difficult, isn't it? They know the horse better than I would ever know him, obviously. But it's just too much downside for me. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. He looked like he couldn't jump at all the last three times we've seen him. It wasn't like it was unlucky. He was face planting three times, and that would be a shock if he did that again. It's just not a good look, is it? And imagine if something happened.
And also, Tom, I mean, imagine this, if you reverse engineer it as well, if he is, you know, what, how people have handicapped him the other day, if he's running to three figures on his flat debut as a nine-year-old, imagine you had a 110 120 group horse as a nine-year-old, and people said, we're going to send him over hurdles, people would think you've gone mad. So it's I don't know. Maybe he's like I said, he clearly got all the zest in the world. He's clearly retains all that speed and ability, and he could have what a cracking, you know, year you could have trotting around in really good flat races.
Absolutely, that's what I think. That's what I think.
He does say he won't want proper summer fast ground, though, doesn't he? That's what Anderson said.
Spring and the autumn, then. Mm. With it. But this, yeah. I mean, we could get him in the arc.
cool.
Yeah. What else did you like about the weekend? Tom, obviously, the closer we get to Cheltenham, the less there is to sort of take immediately forward.
I didn't think there was a lot to do. What worried me? I'll tell you what worried me. I've just written a column in the Weekender about the Ida start. Oh my God, it got me thinking. No, we're going to have all that rubbish again, aren't we? Because the Ida start was a shambles, I thought. You allow the horse that's causing the trouble to get a flying start, and you have three or four that are out the race within 10 seconds. And I thought, we're just going to have this again, aren't we, at Cheltenham? And it really worries me that does, because, you know, I went back through the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the number of front runners that have won Cheltenham handicaps is absurd. I mean, we had three last year out of that. I think there's five Cheltenham. The only race that you seem to be able to come from behind in is the amateur race, where they probably don't ride as well as the professionals, obviously. I was just worried about the start there. It just sent shivers through my spine thinking, oh, here we go again. You know, you're gonna have horses like Myertown and Caldwell Potter, who are just gonna be given a, you know, just get out in front and never see another horse. This is going to happen again unless we sort it out. And for me, they've just got to let them go, Ross. They've just got to let them go. They can't. If there's a horse mucking around out the back, that's the horse's fault. It's not. They shouldn't be given the freedom to then come in and mess up everyone else's start. So. That was the thing that sort of struck me from the weekend. I got nervous about Cheltenham because I thought we're going to have ridiculous starts. We're all going to back horses that just have no chance after 1 second.
Yeah, there's a few more. I don't know if you, again, I was working last week. There was the Warwick Bumper. I don't know if you saw the Warwick Bumper, but
no, I didn't.
There was a horse that was heavily backed and basically it just lined up six lengths ahead of the rest and they just let him go. And he won by... what, four or five lengths? I mean, the race was won from the get-go. There was a race at Exeter last week, the novice hurdle. Horse whipped round at the top, but he was nowhere near the starters, and nobody knew whether the horse was a runner or not, and then half an hour later, he's deemed a non-runner.
Well, they've got to do something about it, because, you know, the Coral Gold Cup was a shambles, wasn't it, at Newbury? Yeah. The Paddy Power in Ireland was a shambles, the start. They've got to at least count it down, at least give the jockeys a warning about when the tapes are going to go up, rather than guessing. Because that's what it seems to be. He sort of goes, are you ready? Off you go. You know, get 5-4-3 to anything to make it so that the jockey, we know that everyone knows when it's going. Because at the moment, they are not good enough. They are simply not good enough. And when we get to Cheltenham, we are going to have plenty of races where you have backed horses that are completely out of it before the race has even started.
And the thing is, Kiels, I kind of feel that if you went on Amazon now and found a digital countdown clock, you could probably spend £30 and just, like, surely there's a solution to this.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but, you know, people just waving flags and saying no and yes and, I don't know.
It's not ideal.
It's going to be a nightmare, isn't it? We'll have three or four races where they have a standing start and three or four very well, you know, fancied horses will have their feet planted and they'll have no chance from the off. We just know that's going to happen.
A few other races just from the weekend to mention. You were mentioning Leader Dahlia, weren't you, as a supreme dark horse? Well, the horse he beat, Straight John, won nicely
time. Yeah, I mean, the talk about Leader Dahlia was that he was massively undercooked at Christmas, and when he came out, he won very easily the next time, and it took a furlong and a half to pull him up afterwards. So it was good to see the form franked. I don't think it was much of a race that Strong John won, of course. But yes, it's good to see the form. But if you're on Leader Dahlia, I'm not at the moment, but... But if you are, you know, I think he's, you know, he might be, you know, everyone's trying to work out what Paul Townend rides in the Supreme, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever he does will probably halve him, because I think virtually every one of Mullins' runners is 12-14-1, isn't it? Or, you know, or bigger. Whatever he rides is going to end up shorter.
Yeah, they're waiting for that decision.
I thought it might be him, yeah.
Okay. And Tom, Calafay and Vol, look away. Jack Junior all might go to Cheltenham. Any chance for those three if they do?
Well, a few of them are my tracker horses. I'm a big Jax Junior fan and have been since he won at Ascot last year. I've been following him since then. I love him. I think he's really good, but he's going to run in the Arkle, isn't he? I'm not sure he's that good. Not sure he's Lou Lambert, Kopech de Bourg, Carl Gies good, but he's a pretty good horse. And he jumps really well. And I wouldn't be, I mean, I think there'll be 6-7 runners in the Arkle. So those who want to take the 40-1 about him finishing in the three, it's probably not the worst bet I've ever seen. So I was a big fan of him. Look Away is just such a nice horse. He always has been, but we sort of know what you're going to get with him. And the other one you mentioned, Calafay and Vol, no, he's off the list, has been off the list for ages. Him.
He was on your list, though, wasn't he?
He was on my list. He's a decent horse. I think he were taken out of all the Cheltenham races anyway, or not put in them, put it that way, because I think they've decided rightly that he's not really a Cheltenham horse. Doesn't actually want it. He's a much better, you know, his best form over hurdles is on flat tracks. He's come back to Kempton and he's won really nicely, isn't he? I think the horse that's had its form boosted is Jordan's, who won that time from Novices Chase at the Trials Day meeting. That race is always such a good pointer. I mean, he beat Quebecois. You forget Quebecois getting beaten over 2 mile next time because he was having a run for the ultimate. And anyone who backed him at 2-5 deserves what they get when they're putting him at 2 mile for just a qualifying run to get into a 3 mile, 1 furlong race. But Cadhurst and Frey was fourth in that race. He's run a blinder and behind Look Away. He's only been beaten a couple of lengths. Calafay on Vol's come out of money. He was fifth. The sixth has won very easily as well. So that form looks as strong as it normally does. So,
you've got the horse mix. It's not Jordan's, is it?
No, Jordan's is the...
Oh, is that Jordan? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's Jordan.
No, Jordan's is the Jaden O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien horse.
Jordan's is a national type, isn't
Jordan's
it?
Cross. Jordan's Cross.
Jordan's Cross.
There you
Jordan's
go. Cross. Hold on, yeah.
I was thinking, I'd back that to win the national. Yeah. He's not running.
That's it. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan is Cross. You've mixed him up with another horse. But just quickly on the...
wrong race.
We got the wrong horse. Wrong
I
race.
Don't understand why Jax Junior wasn't put in the Jack Richards or one of the handicaps. He can't go up. He can't really go up for winning the Pendle like that because the runner-up was only rated 130.
Yeah,
it'd have been 146. I'd have fancied him in one of the handicaps, and I think he's a 2.5 miler anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't, you know, but he might well run well in the Arkle, but he'll be running in the Paddy Power Gold Cup next year. I can almost guarantee if it ain't bottomless.
I mean, Aintree's is obviously a good option. Aintree,
yeah.
For him.
Yeah,
so
he's good though.
I like him a lot. Yeah.
Right. Let's have a look quickly on the chat. Gomez says rule of thumb: don't let somebody wearing a hat make a decision. I assume he means the starter, but yeah, well, I like it.
I just had to check what I was wearing on this.
Yeah. Stephen says it's an embarrassment if Lossie Mouth doesn't win the Champion Hurdle. We'll get to that very shortly, indeed. Duck Duck Goose says he thinks Constitution Hill needs cheek pieces or something to help him focus. Genuine or not, he's panicking and misjudging his hurdles. With something like cheek pieces, he wins, but without, he has no chance. All right, lovely stuff. We'll get to look into the races very shortly. But don't forget the show is now in partnership with Boyle Sports. So if you haven't signed up already, you can sign up using the link in the description down below. And if you bet £10, you get £40 in free bets. And also best odds guaranteed on UK and Irish racing on singles and multiples. Okay, we've got four races to look at then ahead of the Cheltenham Festival, starting off with the Friday curtain raiser, the Triumph Hurdle, where Proactif is 3-1 favourite now, with Selma de Vere at 3-1 as well. Maestro Conti 6s, Monge 2 is 7s with Manella Study, 8-1 Macho Man, 10-1 Charmer de Faust, 14-1 Highland Crystal, and bigger prices the rest. And of course, this time last year, we were sat here going hammer and tongs about whether East India Dock or Le Lamb would win, only to find 100-1 shot come out of nowhere to beat us. And with Narciso has been pulled out last week, this suddenly is a wide open and a very, very different Triumph Hurdle, Tom. I mean, I say a very, very different Triumph Hurdle. You've still got two Mullins horses at the top of the betting in Proactif and Selma de Vere to get stuck into. But look, French imports, not much form to go on. Irish Raiders, it's a bit of a nightmare, isn't it, on paper?
Yeah, it always is a bit of a nightmare, the Triumph Hurdle, for me. It's not a race I've had that much luck in, I don't think, over the years. Obviously, last year was a I mean, it was completely ridiculous, wasn't it, with Poneros coming and winning. But it's, listen, I was going to take on Narciso Haas anyway, because he had just been beating the same horses. The times weren't wonderful. So he was going to be odds on, I thought, on the day. And I thought I would have been quite happy to take him on each way on the day. Proactif has obviously been parachuted in as the sort of backup. He looked very good on his debut, didn't he? It's hard to know the form. He beat Macho Man, didn't he? And looked pretty good. And Mark Walsh was very bullish about him afterwards. One run in a maiden hurdle. It's a bit of a theme, isn't it, this year of Willie Mullins' horses, isn't it? We've got Proactif and Selma Navarri. We've got Kopech Nabord. We've got Mighty Park, who we'll talk about later. Mm. They've all had one run and it's hard to really get a handle on how good they are. Last year, we had, at least they'd been to the Final Demand, and Kopech Nabord, they'd been to the Dublin Racing Festival. They'd won grade ones and everything. Impera Pass had won a grade one. All those sort of horses. These horses were sort of guessing a bit about how good they are. Because it's Willie Mullins, they all parachute into the top of the market without really having any form behind their names. I mean, they've looked good. Salma Navarri certainly looked good when coming from behind in the grade one at the Dublin Racing Festival. But it was, who knows what was third and fourth and fifth. Didn't look great to me. So it is tricky. It is tricky. Obviously, a lot will depend on who Paul Townend rides, I think. But I presume he'll be on Selma Navarri. Mark Walsh should be on Proactif. The one I like is just the one with the form, the solid one. As we were going on about this last week, I'm sick of guessing. I'm sick of saying that one's going to be the one because Willie Mullins said it's still going to be the one, or that one's going to be the one because everyone's talking about it. The one with the best form for me is Manella Study. I thought he was exceptionally good at Cheltenham the other day when he beat all those horses. I thought he won easily on the bridle. He's 3 from 3 over fences. He's the best bred horse in the race. He's one of Kirsten Rowling's top families out of, a Study a Man out of a Frankel or Galileo mare from the family of Alborada. So he's bred to be good. He jumps really well. He stays really well. He likes the track. He'll do for me against a load of horses that I don't know much about.
Yeah, and again, I mean, look, normally you have one or two in here that have run to 130 plus or whatever RPRs, and he's the top number on RPRs on 130. And like you said, everything else, Tom, it's not that much of a standard to hit, but also the others do have to take that step forward, and we still don't know where the ceiling of his ability is yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm pretty sure we're going to say it again and people get cross, but he's trained by Adam Nicol, isn't he? So that factors in a couple of points on his price for sure. Look, I don't know how good. I mean, Proactif, Selma Navarri, they might be miles too good for him. They might be. That tends to happen with Willie Mullins, doesn't it? But not that long ago, Goshen was going to win the Triumph Hurdle by 15 lengths. And he reminds me a bit of him. You know, not that well bred, not brilliant on the flat, but jumps really well, likes Cheltenham. Can just see him going really well. So he was for me against a load of horses I don't know enough about.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Keel? Does anything stand out, or is it a bit of a head scratcher too?
Well, it is a head scratcher. I mean, at current RPRs at the weight, Selma Navarri comes out on top, but even her best RPR is 129. I mean, that's well over a stone below the normal winner of a Triumph Hurdle. So, end of the day, now Narciso Haas is out, nothing's got anywhere near a normal Triumph winner. So we're either going to have a very bad race or something's going to step up dramatically, which is quite often obviously what happens. Now, I did like her. I was well aware that she was in need of a run behind Narciso Haas. And the way she sighed through the field and jumped that second last, I mean, she looked really good there. If you go and watch on France Gallo, her win in France the time before, I mean, she's almost last at halfway. And you know, I thought I was looking at the wrong colours, because a friend of mine said, go and watch this, and then the next thing you know, she's joined the leaders without, the jockey hasn't moved a muscle. She's just sived her way through. She's obviously got loads of speed. She travels. She could be very, very, very good, but she's 3-1 now. Yeah. And that's the issue. I think she went. But the other thing about Narciso Haas coming out is, we've got loads of horses that we thought might be running into Fred Winter, who are now going to think, well, hang on a minute, there's twice as much money for the Triumph. It's extremely winnable.
Yep.
You know, maybe we'll come here instead.
It's not going to take much more to win this than it would a normal a high-class Fred Winter, would it?
No, absolutely. I mean, if you've got a mark of 130, you know, you're not far off top weight in the Fred Winter, and you're not far off the best horse in the Triumph at the moment. I took a chance 2 starts ago on Winston Jr. in the Triumph trial, and I thought he was a monster eye-catcher behind Manila Study. I mean, he was getting weight, and, you know, he got in a little bit of trouble, and I thought then, after having backed him, that this is it. He's probably being laid out for the Fred Winter. Mm. And then he comes out and he wins a 2-bob race at Ascot. But, you know, never touched a twig. He absolutely loves jumping.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll take him a long way. He was, you know, not far off 90 horse on the flat. And, you know, he's got a fair bit of ability. Will he parachute in? You know, from there, he's only 14-1 in the place now. He is joint favourite for the Fred Winter, though.
Yeah.
So it's very, you know, that and Fred Winter are very hard races to bet on at the moment.
Yeah, well, and again, these, I mean, there's just not enough to go on, is there?
No.
And so, although you make an interesting point, I hadn't quite registered in my head, we're talking about this horse has barely run and this might improve, but Selma Devery might improve and is also very experienced because she's raced plenty of times on the flight in France.
Oh, yeah,
she's raced three times over hurdles in France as well. Yeah, so she's actually quite not far off the finished article with a bit more to come as well. So
yeah. I mean, I think she'd be the right fav. Yeah. Just being, you know, in terms of, you know, you've got experience. You know, it was a real eye-catching effort. Like, you know what I mean? But, you know, will she blow out because of the occasion? I remember she wears a hood. She's very flighty, you know, so.
If I remember, I did the stats and then forgot to say anything. But don't hood wearers have a good record in juveniles? Am I imagining that? But I'll have to have a look. But I'm sure there was a few. Gala Marceau hit the frame with a hood the other day, a couple of years ago. Cargeezy finished second wearing a hood. So maybe it's... Maybe it's not the worst thing to
Yeah, it might not be. I mean, I think she's the right faff. Would I go lumping on at threes? No.
The only thing I want to mention, Tom, is that, again, you've got one of these, with so little to go on, you've got Proactive priced up at 3-1, and you've got Macho Man priced up at 8-1, whereas when they met first time out, Macho Man was backed off the boards as if Macho Man was much better than Proactive, and suddenly on the basis of one run where Proactive did look admittedly much more professional, the market's completely swung the other way, and always a little bell goes off in the back of the brain when that happens.
Absolutely. Obviously, on the day, they thought Macho Man was the more likely of the two, and he had looked good in France. And there's Nicky Henderson's got one for the ridiculously named Feel Gut. Yeah. Looked good on his debut, too. It's just impossible. It's just really hard.
Yeah.
My feeling is, look, like last year, something's going to come out of the woodwork, but there are years when a Goshen or a, you know what I mean, or a Pentland Hills or one of those ones comes along that just does it. And I'm hoping Manila Studies that one, because he looked really good, I thought, at Cheltenham. I thought he won with loads in hand. I totally understand Keels' point about Winston Jr. I wouldn't be surprised if they ran him in here instead. But look, at the prices, I don't know. He's just, as I say, I'm not going to guess anymore because I'm sick of guessing, because I'm rubbish at guessing these days about which one's going to take the big step forward. There, you could make a case for 20 of them doing that in this race. So I'm going to go with what I know. And what I know is that Manila Study jumps well, likes Cheltenham, and is getting better.
All right. The man who won't leave his study is going for Manila Study.
Correct.
Keels?
Talking of leaving my study, Ross, how did the paddle go today? Did you win?
I did win this morning, yeah.
Good. How was the lighting?
Yeah, it was outside. Well, the sun came out this morning, which scared the bejesus out of me. I'm not used to it. So yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, it was good. It was just a fairly comfortable win in the end.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you. Yeah, the knees are screaming right now, but apart from that, it's all good. Keels has said he's going to come and play. He's going to have a crack at Cheltenham.
Keels. Yeah. It's not table tennis, mate. It's like you got to run.
And apparently, you don't have to run that much. I've seen it on the telly. Should be all right, shouldn't it? It's only Ross.
Yeah.
It's only Ross, yeah.
Why don't you put some money on it, Keels? Why don't you...
Okay.
This is going to be the easiest hustle of my life, I think. But anyway, let's... Keels, what are you going for?
I think Selma Devery is the right fav. I would be very interested if Winston Jr. got the nod. Might have a couple of quid. Not one of no bet.
All right. And I think, again, I don't want to necessarily have a bet, but if I was at the prices, I think Macho Man I'd want to be with Macho Man for the year.
Okay, we got you.
Yeah, but genuinely, it does look a daft price compared to that. If that's a piece of form that means Proactive is favourite, then I don't think he should be 8-1 based on.
RPR of 1-2-2 or something, Macho Man. I mean, that's how low it is.
It's a fairly shocking renewal,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So
got a higher rating than last year's winner, that's for sure.
Yeah, true. Fairly true. Yeah, but would he go off favourite for a Cambridgeshire and bomb out? I don't know. I mean, at this point, like after Friday night, anything could happen, couldn't it? Mm. So, right, let's have a look. As for the others, sorry, but the Maestro trial was much stronger than Manella race at Cheltenham, says Monty. And Monge 2 is a place bet banker, says Scotty Rudds. I don't always need to find the winner. That's right, Scotty. Sometimes those place bets can be like shelling peas, can't they? So, Monge 2 for you. Right, moving on then to the next. It's the Mayor's Hurdle, where it's a very head-scratching market, isn't it? Get your calculator out, Giles. What's the percentage?
This is it. I was looking at percentages for some of the races. I saw one bookie on the Fred Winter yesterday, and it was 330%.
Yeah, that's...
So you bear that in mind when you're betting non-runner, no bet. But, I mean, you can understand it, sort of, can't you? But
I mean, it's
if they all turn up, I mean, anybody who's had a bet, it's an absolute nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, if they don't, then and the bookie's priced it up in another way, then the book's going to look absolutely insane, isn't it? But anyway, Lossy Mount 5-6, Bride of Days ahead 6-4, Wadu 13-8, Jade Gruji 7-1, Golden Ace 10-1, and Feed of a Dancer 10-1, 12-1, bar those. Are we assuming, Keels, or are we anticipating it's Lossy Mouth versus Wadu with Brighter Days going ahead?
I think that's what everyone thinks. I'm not convinced that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, I think it throws Constitution Hill back into the mix as well, you know, because if he doesn't go, then you're more inclined to, you know, I know people might say, well, he'll fall anyway, but, like, you know what I mean? If you know his ability, and you know if he gets round, he's going to win, so then do you swerve it anyway? Now, Lossy Mouth, as we well know, has not run in it last year. When given what happened, she probably would have won.
Yep.
But she was handed her ass by Brighter Days Ahead at Leopardstown, and I think the better horse won on the day there. Brighter Days Ahead has got to do it at Cheltenham, though, hasn't she? Because her form at Cheltenham isn't so good. So I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I think
Wadhoo is a genuine threat to Lossy Mouth anyway.
Okay.
Mm. Like, you know, so, and the thing is, she's going to be pretty short if both of them don't run.
Well, she's got 2.5 lengths to find on their Aintree meeting, but of course she was coming straight out of a handicap. She's a year younger, so there's.
Yeah, she's looked very good this year, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She's looked very, very good this year. She might be the one that's improving. I'm not saying she'd definitely beat her, but I think she's a serious, serious threat to her.
Yeah.
More so than she was at Aintree last year, put it that way.
Well, again, it only takes her to improve half a stone and Lossy Mouth to run slightly below.
Yeah.
And she gets the job done. However, Tom, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you'll probably remember better than I can, but Quavega and Hurricane Fly in that sort of year, did we spend every season saying she should run in the Champion Hurdle, or is this just a new thing?
Well, because Quavega was Stayers Hurdle, wasn't it, I think?
Annie Powell, we had the discussion about a few years. I think the point is, and I think the point that hasn't really been spoken about, is that when Annie Power and Quavega and all those didn't run in the races they were supposed to, Willie Mullins had others that had really good chances. State Man, for example, last year was a reason why Lossy Mouth wouldn't run in the champ. This year he's got nothing. Mm. He's got Pony Ross and Anzadam. Is he really going to sit out the Champion Hurdle with his best chance? Last year he had a better chance, according to him, than Lossy Mouth. That's why she didn't run. Mm. I think she will run in the Champion Hurdle at the end of the day, because I don't think I can't imagine Willie Mullins sitting there on Champion and saying, do you know what, we'll run a couple of, you know, 10, 12, 14-1 shots in this when we could have had the 5-2 second favourite or 5-2 favourite in this. I think she'll run in the Champion Hurdle this year, simply because he hasn't got anything else with a better chance, which is what he normally does. Brighter Days Ahead obviously isn't going to run, but as you say, Wudu is outstanding. She never gets beat, does she? I think she's a really, really top mare who jumps brilliantly and would have a chance of beating, as Keel said, of Lossy Mouth in this race anyway. Doesn't mean I don't think Lossy Mouth can win the Champion. I think she can. Because I think beating Wudu might be harder than winning the Champion, and so I don't know. I think Lossy Mouth will run in the champion, and I think Wadu will win this. And I don't think there's much else in the race. I mean, I could see Feet of a Dancer running into the frame, but Wadu kicked her out the way the other day, giving her loads of weight at Leopardstown. Jada Grugie might parachute back in here if Lossy Mouth doesn't, but Wadu's better than her. So it's obviously it's really hard to have a bet now. How can you back Wadu at 13-8 if Lossy Mouth turns up? She'll be 2-1 day, won't she? But if Lossy Mouth doesn't turn up, she'll be 4-7, I think. So
yeah, but it's a bit like you said about the whole guessing thing again, though, isn't it, Tom? You're just it's
guessing.
Look, I mean, I don't know. I know what you mean about the Mullins thing. I guess obviously, you know, it comes down to owners a lot as well, though, and. Again, given that Lossy Mouth won this as a 5-year-old as well, which is where Corvega started, there's a possibility she just goes and does what Corvega does. And again,
it'd be really disappointing, though, wouldn't it? Because everyone knows it. I mean, obviously, Constitution Hill, as Keel said, throws a different perspective on the whole thing. But everyone knows it's a rubbish champion hurdle. Everyone knows it's a winnable champion hurdle. If she's not going to run in this one.
But I guess the counterpoint is that she ran against Constitution Hill at Kempton, got beat. She ran against State Man, fell, got beat. She ran last time out ended up getting beaten by a mare, but in open company, got beat. So everyone's like, oh, she should go for the champion hurdle. Every time she goes for open company, she gets beat.
Well, not every time. You know, not every time. She did win the Triumph, for example. She did win the...
She won the Hatton's Grace, that's true, but...
And the Moor Yard. So she's not every time she gets... I mean, I think... she might get beat. I'm not saying she's a certainty for the champion hurdle by any stretch of the imagination, but she's not good at chance as any of them. She's only just behind Brighter Days Ahead, and she's never been beaten at Cheltenham, has she, Lossy Mouth?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's as good, you know, what price is Brighter Days Ahead for the champion hurdle? 5-2? I'd fancy Lossy Mouth to beat her around Cheltenham every day of the week. And therefore, it's just so hard. It's just so hard to have a bet in these races at this stage. Personally, I think Wadu will win whatever because I really like her. I really like her, but I wouldn't back her at 13-8 now. You get 2-1 on the day if Lossy Mouth's there. And then if she's 4-7, then you just, you know, have another Guinness with Keels and move on to the whatever's coming afterwards.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's quite possible that at least five of those on there won't be running.
Yeah, Lossy Mouth Bright could go for the champion. Jada Grugie could go over fences. Golden Ace could go for the champion. Feet of a Dancer's
Cargese's in the Arkle. So Feet of a Dancer might go. Take No Chances might go. Although, you know, I don't know whether they've got handicap options as well. I'd imagine Take No Chances. So let's just have a quick look.
I think she'll run a big race, but I just don't want to back her at 12s.
Last year, Jetara finished fourth in this race and then third to Hidden Valley Lake at Aintree and then third to Tiapu at Punchestown. She's 66-1.
Yeah.
12, just over 12-1 a place. Hasn't run that well this year, but was better last time at Doncaster. It just could be a silly each way.
Yeah.
You know, 66-1 shot. Like most of the ones ahead of her in the betting aren't going to run. She's going to have an odds on shot, whatever she runs against. But if two of them go to the champion hurdle, you've got a right shot at a place, haven't you?
That's true.
So if you want to take a chance and have a bet in this race, and let's face it, we don't have to bet in any race right now, do we? But if you wanted to take a chance on two running there, then that 12-1 a place is going to look quite tasty.
All right. Jetara could outrun her on if she turns up then, like she did last year. So final question before we move on. Fantasy world, because it's highly unlikely to happen. If Lossy Mouth, Brighter Days Ahead and Wadu all turned up, who wins over this C&D?
Gosh, at the prices, at the likely prices, I think I'd back Wadu because I really like her.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Tom, same question to you.
Yeah, I'd be the same. I watched the Cheltenham preview the other night with Gordon Elliott on it and his nap in the meeting was Wadu. He said, the man who runs. And I thought that was really, you know, she's just really good, isn't she? She's just really good and, you know, I really
He ain't
like
going to give you a 16-1 shot in a handicap, though, is he?
Of course he's not. Yeah, but he could have given us, he's got a lot of fancied horses,
yeah,
isn't
true.
He?
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
Actually, to be fair, one more thing, it's a good point, actually. Alan Keane says, if Lossie Mouse should be running, why shouldn't Waddy be running a champion hurdle, Tom?
Well, she's not entered, for starters.
Well,
but the
concept of it, Lossie Mouth should go for the champion hurdle because she could win a champion hurdle. If you think Waddu could beat Lossie Mouth...
He doesn't think she's a two-miler at all, and she hasn't run 2 miles for 2 years.
There you go.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year for Waddu. Yeah. Who knows?
We don't know what they'll do with Waddu, but if she comes here, then... she's going to come here, and you think she'll beat Lossie Mouth anyway?
I think she might.
All right. Okay.
Well, what you could say though, Ross, if Lossie Mouth, Brighter Days Ahead, Wudu, Golden Ace and Cargese turned up in this race, it would be infinitely better than the champion hurdle, wouldn't it?
It would be an absolute blinder of a race. In fact, let's start that campaign now, actually, Tom. Let's start the campaign to get every horse on that screen there and running in the Mayor's Hurdle.
Yeah.
If we can get Constitution Hill to Southall, we can do that, Tom.
What a race it would be.
It would be. It'd be an absolute blinder. So what you're saying is ban mares from the champion hurdle, Tom. Controversial.
Well, it's not a bad idea, is it? We get better races. Both of them will be better races.
They would genuinely both be better races. Yeah, let's do that. All right, okay, fair enough. Right, that's the mares hurdle then. Before we move on, I've got two more races to get stuck into. But here's a bit of extra for you.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts, who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
I love buying value. It doesn't matter what they cost.
It feels as though there is a British fight back.
I think she's a 16-20-1 shot for the thing, and I think she's good each way bet in that race.
Did he really just?
I just can't say.
Apologies.
I'm just about getting over that.
Okay, check out the check out my Cheltenham on the YouTube channel as well. The latest episode up there is John Harding and Jerry McGrath, the man who sourced Django Bay and La Lamba, amongst others. More episodes coming up of that, including Paul Keeley and Shark Hanlon, which was very entertaining to record, I can tell you that. And also don't forget to catch out Racing Unfiltered as well, which is out every Saturday at 6 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Look, if you're hungry for racing content, you can find it all on the Racing Post YouTube channel. In fact, it's a veritable all-you-can-eat buffet. Of top class content, and there's all sorts of good stuff on there. So right, let's move on to the Turners Novices Hurdle up next. It is a Grade One contest, of course, the intermediate distance between the Supreme horses and the Albert Bartlett horses, and we get to do the dance again of this horse might be running in that race, that horse might be running in that race, that horse should never be running in this race. And it's Mighty Park, who's been quite strongly back for this over the past week or so. 130 favourite ahead of No Drama This End at 4, Skylight Hustle at 5, Talk the Talk 5, Dr Steinberg 5, Ballyfad 7, Active Innocence 8, King Rasco Grey at 10-1, and so on and so forth, Tom, as we again play declaration bingo with thee at the Turners. But look, the talking horse from the Mullins camp, which again, there's a bell goes off in the back of my brain that the talking novice from the Mullins camp every year seems to get beat, is what I always tend to think, and then he'll go and have two or three other winners. But there's been a lot of chat about Mighty Park. He absolutely dotted up on his one and only hurdle start, but very strange profile, isn't it, for a favourite for a Grade One novice at Supreme again in the Turners. I mean, your Turners, your Supreme, your Albert Bartlett, one run over hurdles, one win, favourite for a Grade One.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've got. I mean, that's what happens with Willie Mullins these days, isn't it? We've got joint favourite for the Arkle nearly, or second favourite for the Arkle's had one run. We've got horses winning Triumph hurdles that have never run before. We've got this thing. To me, it's the one horse I desperately want to lose at the Cheltenham Festival. I'm sick of these. I mean, it makes, you know, it's a bit like we come to the flat. Let's put it like this. We come to the flat. Mm. We have a maiden winner running in a group race. And all anyone talks about is, I don't know what it, how good he is, don't know what he goes, you shouldn't, don't back that. And he drifts out 7-1 and gets beat. We've got a maiden hurdle winner. It did win very impressively. The Racing Post rating is very high. And he could be very, very good, but he didn't win his point to point. And all of a sudden, he's at 100 to 33 to 1 to win the Turners against horses that won grade ones. It's frustrating. It's annoying.
Not for you as a tipster, though, Tom, because suddenly this makes it a market right. worth looking at.
Well, unless he wins by miles, then it's very frustrating, which is possible because it's Willie Mullins JP and, you know, he's got 500 million novices running around and he knows the best one and this one's supposed to be the best one, so it might win. But look, it goes against, as I say, I'm going to repeat myself again. I'm not guessing anymore. I don't know anything about Mighty Park. He might be good. David, they all say he's brilliant. He's this, that. He's the greatest. He's the next big thing. Good. Good luck to him. Good luck to anyone who backs him at 100 to 30. I hope he wins for you, but he's not for me. The horses like this, I'm just not going for anymore. I like. I'm going for form. I'm going for horses with the right profile, the right preparation. No Drama This End has it. I'm just not convinced how good he actually is. I much prefer Skylight Hustle of the two, of those ones at the top there. I just think he's going to relish the step up in trip. He would have finished second to Talk the Talk at over Christmas, but not by far. Dr. Steenberg, I don't know where he's going to go. Ballyfad, I'm not convinced. That was such a slowly run race at the Dublin Racing Festival that it's hard to know whether he was advantaged by being where he was that day. I guess he was. And so I like Skylight Hustle of those just because I just thought he looked good. He just jumped well. He travelled well. He stayed well. So he'll do for me. But listen, I don't want Mighty Park to win. It's as simple as that.
Fair enough. I had a look. Well, once raced hurdlers in grade one novices at Cheltenham. Not many of them, obviously. 0 from 18. Mellon was one of those. Finished second in the Supreme, but he'd run on the flat. So, again, it's just a really... I mean, it's a huge ask, isn't it?
Five-year-old too, Ross. Five-year-old as well. They don't... Five-year-olds win the Supreme quite a lot. They don't win this very often.
Although, I mean, and you're right, although admittedly, of all the races at the festival... Keels. This 1 year, 2 milers win it. The next year, Grand National horses win it. It's always a bit of an odd.
Yeah, actually, I don't, look, when it comes to this race, I mean, I know people talk about the Turners is a, you know, a great trial for the Champion Hurdle, etc. But more often than not, the next season, it's where are they now? Like, you know what I mean? It's more often than not, it's a bad race rather than a good one. Yeah. You know, so we won't know what it is for some while yet. I want him to win, but only because I've had a bit on at 50s and 40s for the Supreme. It was one of those where the rumours started circulating, and he went from 5 to 2 to 8 to 13, I think it was, when he got into that race as second reserve, I think he was. Yeah. But his prices for the Cheltenham races stayed the same while he was getting on. I thought, well, hang on a minute, this is a bit daft, isn't it? Let's have a couple of bet,
as, mean, as he collapsed, you backed him before he won then? Because
I backed him before he won, yeah. I backed him before he won. I backed him for the Supreme and the Turners. And so, yeah, I want him to win. Would I back him now? Not in a million years. Not a once race. I mean, 5 for 3 won as on his second race over hurdles, but he'd also run in bumpers. That was a Mullins horse that won this race years ago. Yeah. So, but, you know, to not run anywhere else. I mean, he did look like an absolute tool, but, I mean, how many of the others wanted to get anywhere near him? Like, you know what I mean? The runner-up has suddenly found himself quite sort of forward in the market for some of the handicaps at the festival, hasn't he? Hasn't it? Like, you know, having since run second, but still laughed at by El Kairos afterwards.
Yeah. And the fourth went off 12-1 behind Mighty Park, and then at 15-8 next time.
Yeah.
Different gravy.
Exactly, like, you know what I mean. So we've no idea whatsoever how good he is. But my wallet wants him to be really good. What would I back otherwise? I mean, I think all the others, they've got similar claims. You know what I mean? I'd love to see No Drama This End win it for Nichols and Max McNeil. And he's done it really well. And the one difference between all the other Nichols Challow winners that have got beat here is he didn't have a really hard race in bottomless ground, did he? Like, you know what I mean? He just dictated from the front. He hasn't put up a huge performance. And one that he's got to back up, his actually better piece of form was when he won at Sandown the time before. So he's had a nice, easy run to it. I think he can run well, but I don't really know how strong that form is.
Well, he's beat he's pretty much beat nothing, hasn't he?
Yeah.
In his races.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's beat them easily.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so that would worry me. All the others look to a similar. If I was going to have a bet now, I'd have a couple of quid each way on Shuttle Diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Who was placed in the champion bumper last year, did absolutely nothing on his first two starts over hurdles. I thought, well, maybe this is one of those ones with a profile for the handicaps. He just needs to run five times. But then he finally, the penny dropped and he was second to King Roscoe Gray. I was impressed with King Roscoe Gray that day, but he was getting £8 from the runner-up. And he's come out, he's bolted up very comfortably since. Obviously, got that Cheltenham form being placed in the champion bumper. Just might run well at a price.
Well, look, and if Bambino Fever's a so-called certainty for the mare's novice, and El Kairos and Idaho Sun are strongly fancied for the Super.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's a good race.
What was he, third in the bumper last year?
Yeah.
No Drama This End.
No Drama This End was behind
ninth.
Him, yeah.
Idaho Sun was sixth. El Kairos was fifth.
Yeah.
So he's got that form in there. He's got the ability, and he could just be a little bit overpriced.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Shuttle Diplomacy, 6-year-old for Thomas Cooper. It'd be nice to see Thomas Cooper with a decent horse again, wouldn't it? It's been a few years. Just other horses to mention. You were talking about Wadu, Tom, in terms of horses who just turn up and they win and they win and they win and they win. And Declan Queeley's got one in here at double figure odds who does that. And if I'll sort that comes here, is 12-1 not a bit big?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I mean, I've backed him non-runner no bet for the Albert Parlour, but I understand he's going to run here. He's done nothing. He's one of those that he jumps okay. He stays. He definitely stays. He stays really well. That's why I thought he might be an Albert Parlour horse. But yeah, he's definitely on the list. Like Kiehl's, I've also had a few quid on Shuttle Diplomacy. I just thought he finished in front of loads of good horses in the bumper. I mean, that was the bumper, funnily enough, has worked out really well, despite it looking a bit of a weird race last year. Everything's coming out and winning from it. And he did really well. He probably did best of those that were held up. I mean, obviously, bar the winner, Bambino Fever, but she sort of got first run on him while he was sort of stuck on the rail turning for home. He finished as well as anything. I think this is the right race for him. He obviously has had quite a few runs over hurdles, but I don't think he's entered in any of the handicaps, is he, Kiehl's? You all might know better than me.
They need to get five in, don't they?
Yeah,
and he's only got four. I don't think he entered it any, did he?
No, I don't think so. But so that's a bit of a red herring there. Well done, Tom. But I thought he might run well. But you can make it up. There's loads. Dr. Steenberg, I mean, it was interesting after we came on here and said a few weeks ago, Ross, he looked like a Turner's horse. And everyone else laughed at us and said, oh, no, he's definitely going for the Albert Barla. How can you be so? And Willie Mines came out and said he thinks he might be a Turner's horse. So maybe we weren't too far off the... case there.
Well, it's Willie Mullins bingo again, isn't it? It's where they all line up because, while Mighty Park is favourite here, he's still only sevens for the Supreme.
Yeah.
And his only race has been over 2 miles. And you've got an obvious fit in there with Dr. Steinberg, who to me is too keen for the Albert Bartlett. You don't want to see him, tugging away like that over 3 mile at Cheltenham, do you?
Winners of that race have a shocking record in the Albert Bartlett.
Yeah.
But a good record in this.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could easily see that happening, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
I and interestingly, Ross, the Narciso Has Dominoes might have an effect on where Mighty Park runs, because I did know that Proactif was the only other JP horse left in the Supreme now. JP's got two in the Supreme, Mighty Park and Proactif. Well, it's a million to one Proactif runs in the Supreme now because he's going to run in the Triumph. Is JP going to want to start the meeting without a runner? He might buy Talk the Talk, but if he doesn't buy Talk the Talk, his only option then would be Mighty Park.
Yeah, it's it wouldn't be the first time he ran a... he did that sort of curveball as well. So, look, again, and this is, again, every year. And, even if Willie had made 100% his decision of where all these horses are going to go 3, 4, 5 weeks in advance, which I don't think he has necessarily, so we don't know until they get decked, do we? So,
well, I think 5 for 3, the horse we mentioned earlier that won this, that was proper last minute he's going to run in the Turners, wasn't it? When he won that year.
Keels, I sat next to Willie Mullins on a. I've probably told you this before. I sat next to him on a Cheltenham preview on the Sunday night. He was declaring. On the Saturday night, he was declaring on the Sunday, and to 1,000 people at Leopardstown Racecourse, told them that 5 for 3 was running in the Supreme. And that was on the day, you know, like 12 hours before declarations came around.
Well, he also famously did that with Vautour as well, didn't he? Said, I've only ever had the Gold Cup in mind. And then the day before.
So these things
Well, I mean, we don't even need to go to that. We don't need to go back that far, Tom. I mean, Ballyburn, a couple of years ago, completely made the Supreme. It completely changed the game in terms of the novices. And then Slade Steele goes and wins the Supreme.
Yeah, but the point, exactly. But the thing is, people say, oh, Willie knows what he's doing. I mean, that proved to me, he obviously knows what he's doing, but what that proved to me, he didn't know where he fancied running that horse right until the last minute. And I think that's how he works.
Yeah. Well, or he knows exactly what he's doing,
but there's no point telling 1,000 people in a leopard that he's going to run in you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just say, oh, I'm going to run it. I haven't made my mind up yet.
Yeah, yeah. So you want Mighty Park to win for your anti-post?
Yeah, I wanted to win, but if I was having a bet now, I'd have a couple of quid each around Shuttle Diplomacy.
All right, Tom, what about you?
Well, I've backed two. I've backed Skylight Hustle and Shuttle Diplomacy. Were my two when I did this race a long time ago. I've no reason to change my mind with either of them, I don't think.
All right. I think Dr. Steinberg should go here, and I think it was 5-1 right now. It would look very, very good if he did. But I do think I'll Sort That is too big. Like I said, just keeps winning, just keeps galloping, jumps well. I mean, 6-year-old from an unfashionable yard, so he's always going to be a half decent price. So I'll have a look, a little bit of I'll Sort That. Last race we're going to have a look at is the Mayor's Novices Hurdle, a Grade 2 event which had a so-called good thing in last year, which was beaten by a big price Hemi de Bromhead runner. Not the first time that's happened in this event. Bambino Fever is the so-called good thing this year at 6-4, albeit Gordon Elliott might have something to say about that with Old School Outlaw at 5-2. Then we have Entry Bingo with Selma de Vere and Mange 2 at 6s and 10s, and then 12-1 bar those. But again, Bambino Fever beaten by Old School Outlaw on her hurdles debut, but then dotted up last time out, Tom. And again, we were saying that bumper form is very, very good. And again, if you look back, winners of the bumper who came back next year won the Albert Bartlett, second in the Supreme, won the Neptune, fourth in the Supreme, fell in the Albert Bartlett halfway around, won the Supreme, fourth, third, fifth in the Supreme. So even if it's not a good bumper, the winner often comes back next year and does very well. And it clearly was a good bumper last year.
Yeah, well, at the time, no one really was rating it, but now, in hindsight, it looks an excellent race, doesn't it? And she's a standout in here, isn't she? But, as you know, not a trends guy, but I can't remember. You've got to go back a few years to find a favourite winning. Lorena was the last favourite to win this in 2018. So we've had quite a few sort of upsets. Personally, I can't really see it. I think Bambino Fever is outstanding. I think she jumps really well, does everything right. I think she'll beat Old School Outlaw this time, unless the ground was really heavy. If the ground was really heavy, I'd give Old School Outlaw another chance of beating her. Trying to find the next big thing is quite hard. I mean, Echoing Silence looked good when she... Was it Ferry House where she won? I can't remember. But she looked good that day, and Henry de Bonred's obviously got a very good record in the race, so you can't rule her out. I do like La Conquiere for Jamie Snowden, who has got a very good record. He's won this race, has he?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and also he's got a good record with mares, so I thought she could go well. A little bit disappointed with her at Ascot, but it's a funny track, Ascot. She sort of got off the rail there, and an experienced filly sort of nabbed her on the line. I could see her going well. And Carrick Mornus Bruce was second to Skylight Hustle in that Grade 1 at the Leopardstown over Christmas. Would have been third if Talk the Talk had stood up, but that was against the boys. It's hard to know how good any of these novices are, but if those two are good, and if they both run well in the Turners and the whatever, I don't know when this race is, it might be before the Turners for all I know, but if Skylight Hustle runs well in the Turners, or Talk the Talk runs well in the Supreme, she could look a bit of value around 14-1. So I personally think Bambino Fever's a standout, but I've said that about horses in this race for the last 5 or 6 years, and none of them have won.
Yes, this is 24 hours after the Turners, that does stand up. Keels, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue, isn't it? I mean, none of these have actually done very much over hurdles, but we know how good Bambino Fever was as a bumper horse, but she's been chinned at fours on by Old School Outlaw, and then she's won a Mickey Mouse race by 10 lengths at 10s on by some margin, the slowest time of the day. So she hasn't actually had to do anything, but again, we know what she's like on a bumper form. I'd give Old School Outlaw a chance of beating her. And the only other one I was really interested in was La Conquia. I would forgive her that Ascot run. It's one of those that was really, really slowly run races. And that Ubetti is quite talented, not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, she was third in the Scottish Champion Hurdle last year, I think. And she got her own way out in front. And again, it was just a really slow run race, and La Conquia can be a bit keen and just got out-battled. I think she'd do better in a stronger run race, which she should almost certainly get. So if there's an each-way bet in the race, it'd be her. It wouldn't surprise me at all if old Bambino and Old School Outlaw were first and second there.
All right, OK. Unless, like you said, some Henry de Bromhead horse comes out of nowhere, which I did. Really, a horse were full of life who won at Down Royal 120 odd days ago, whatever it was, did a really good figure. I thought, oh, she's a nice type. Hasn't been seen since. But again, knowing Henry in this race, wouldn't entirely rule out her for an epic race if she turned up. Just reiterate your thoughts on this one, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? I think Bambino Fever probably stands out. Willie Mullins in mayor's races, I think I did a thing, 57% of them he's won, and since they've started, or 58%. It's pretty hard to look elsewhere. Old School Outlaw ties him very closely. If he doesn't win, Gordon Elliott tends to. But there are a few with each way. James Echoing Silence, La Conquiere, Carrigmore and Spruce. But I think Bambino Fever stand out, really.
All right. It must be said that Willie Mullins has not won this for 5 years in a row, though,
right,
after winning it for 5 years in a row. So, yes. Right, OK, quickly on the chat. Plaster the Nation, fifth in the Triumph. Big price here each way. Although, I was talking about earlier on, I assume she's qualified for a handicap, as you might be doing here. Interested in Shoma de Faust, wherever she goes, says Josh.
De Bromhead did mention Echo in Silence for this race when she won in December, and says, I don't know whether we have to bother going anywhere else first. So that could be the one.
OK, there you go. Right, that just about wraps up the previews then for those four races. Anything coming up this week, Tom? And
I've only had a quick look at it, but there's some good racing that I like. There's the Moor Battle at Kelso. I'm not a Kelso expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I do like the Greatwood Handicap at Newbury, the handicap chase there. Thought Twin Jets, I thought he was really impressive there the other day when he won that handicap there. He's obviously up in the weights, but he's not massively up in the weights, and just Harry Cobden from the front round there. Provided the ground isn't too bad. It says it's heavy at the moment. We've got nice week forecast. It's going to be 15 degrees tomorrow, I'm told, or on Wednesday. 15 degrees on Wednesday, I'm told, down here. And so might not be too bad at Newbury. And if that's the case, I'd give him a chance for sure.
All right. I have to get a new thermometer, I think, I've cut everything else off that's got double figures on mine. But Keels, anything before we move on? We don't have to.
No, that 15 degrees sounds great, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Golf.
I was going to say, you might get a round of golfing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a man starved of a game of golf.
My course is open.
No.
Is it still shut?
Oh, it's been shut, mostly shut for ages, mate. Yeah, it's just bottomless, isn't it? It just hasn't stopped raining everywhere.
And as we
know, wouldn't be good for your high fades, Keels. They're not going to run very far.
I don't have them anymore, mate. Snap hooks now. I've changed my game.
Absolutely, yeah. No idea what you're talking about.
None you're too interested places. In your forehands, Ross, and your lovely little chop shots.
That's it. I'm all about the vibras and the bandejas. So what can I say? Exactly. Look, I'm not gonna play golf until my knees completely give way on the other sports. So that's that's my backup plan. Before we go, one more treat for you. Like I said, there's all sorts of stuff on the Racing Post YouTube channel you can find. And if you go back far enough, you can find all sorts of lovely stuff.
I've been joined by betting editor Paul Keeley, looking ahead to this weekend's action at Epsom, of course kicking off with the Investec Derby, which gets underway at 4:00. So Paul, Camelot's the hot favourite, and he'd be the first odds-on winner since Shergar to win the Derby. Can he do it?
I think he can. I think he's fighting off an awful lot of the opposition. He's probably only got two or three serious dangers in the race.
Lovely stuff. And if you want to know what a bloke who looks a bit like Paul Keighley fancied in Camelot's Derby, then you can go back and find that as well, Keels.
You know, I had hair. What's going on?
I know. Can you remember that?
Yeah. Looked like a syrup as well, didn't it? It wasn't, though.
Oh, Tom, I tell you what, time's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It's great that they always get Keels as well. It's fantastic.
Don't you worry, Tom. We're trawling.
I know. I'm waiting for one.
We're trawling the archives. We'll find one, mate. We'll find one. Right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next Monday. Enjoy your week.